And today we're in, actually it's only lesson number two because we had to preach lesson number one twice. Today's subject is wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Some have referred to these as the revelatory gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Our series is titled Supernatural Power for Supernatural Living. It is our belief that the gifts of the Spirit come with the Holy Spirit, and that those gifts come so that we can live supernatural lives. Okay? We can live in harmony with God, and because God is all-knowing, He'll let us know what He wants us to know. Are you hearing me? Our principal scripture for the series is found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, and it reads as thus, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, or as one translation says, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But to each one." So that means that everybody who received the Holy Spirit received at least a gift of the Spirit. That's if you received the Holy Spirit. But to each one individually is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. So God, it is God who gives the gift, and He distributes the gift according to His will. Okay? So we have a quick review for you, for those that haven't been here. First thing we told you was that real Holy Spirit means real power. We put in parentheses, when He comes, the gifts come. There's no such thing as you receive the Holy Spirit, but none of the gifts of the Spirit are active in your life. If the gifts aren't active in your life, there's only two reasons that could be. Number one, you haven't activated them. Paul said, stir up the gift that's within you by reason of the anointing. Isn't that what he said? So, number one, you haven't activated them. You haven't put any demand on the Holy Spirit to demonstrate who He is. The second reason the gifts aren't manifested in your life is you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because He can only be who He is, and when He comes, He brings everything He is with Him. That's why we told you there aren't two Holy Spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. That's why we said real Holy Spirit, real power. When He comes with power. Somebody say amen. Then we told you the gifts are proof that the Holy Spirit is here. This is why when I hear guys, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, when I hear people trying to explain away the gifts of the Spirit, well, you know, that was for the early church. That's not necessarily for us now. We have the completed text. So now that we have the word, we don't need this gift. Well, then you got to explain to me when the Holy Spirit stopped being the Holy Spirit. Because if the fruit of the Spirit are indicative of his character, then the gifts of the Spirit are his essence. You can't have him and not have the gifts of the Spirit. So when did the Holy Spirit stop being the Holy Spirit? When did he get a I told y'all last week, you know, there's no platinum model Holy Spirit, and then mid-level model, and then base model. There's only the Holy Spirit. Platinum. You know what I mean? All right. And then we told you the more fruit you exhibit, the more the spiritual gifts you can manifest. That as you manifest the fruit of the Spirit, you are actually, now, you know, let me say this parenthetically about that. Does God use people who aren't manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? Yes. Yes. He uses whoever he wants. You see what I'm saying? So don't think that because God's using somebody, he's pleased with them. Are you hearing me? But what I'm saying to you is that God can use you more effectively as you demonstrate or as you manifest more of the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Because several of the fruit of the Spirit become necessary in order for you to manifest gifts of the Spirit. For example, kindness, love, gentleness. These become very important because those are attributes associated with compassion. So if you're going to operate in healing, which we'll talk about later, you're going to have to be able to have compassion. Are you hearing me? Then finally, we told you that the spiritual gifts are to be desired. The spiritual gifts are to be desired, meaning you should have a sincere desire to find out what spiritual gift God wants to operate in your life and to have that spiritual gift operating in your life on a regular basis. Okay? So today we're going to talk about wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The text for today is actually 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And then later on he says, and to another discerning of spirits. So I want to kind of set this up a little bit. I did something. I got you some definitions. Let me see if I can find this. I got you some definitions because I wanted you to have a clear understanding of what we're talking about. So I meant to have this pulled up already. Please forgive me. All right. So, the word of wisdom. Here's how, and I just went and found definitions that made sense to me. This is not in anybody's particular lexicon. This is a layman's definition for, since we're going to deal with the word of wisdom first. The gift of the word of wisdom is the application of knowledge that God gives you. Now, I've always told people wisdom is the application of knowledge. So the word of wisdom is the application of the knowledge that God gives you, all right? This type of wisdom is a gift which cannot be gained through study or experience and should by no means try to replace them. The gift of the word of wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective. As a Christian exercises this gift, he begins to develop a fear of the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom according to Proverbs 1:7. The gift of the word of wisdom is also the revealing of prophetic future. It is speaking hidden truths of what is not known. It is a supernatural perspective to ascertain the divine means of accomplishing God's will in a given situation, and it is divinely given power to appropriate spiritual intuition and problem solving. Furthermore, this gift involves having a sense of divine direction, being led by the Holy Spirit to act appropriately in a given set of circumstances, and rightly applying knowledge. All right? We'll give you the one for the word of knowledge in a minute. One of the things I want to say to you is that when you start studying the gifts of the Spirit, you'll see as some of the, I don't know any other way to say this, some of the theological community want to explain away the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. They want to explain away especially The first two. Their premise is that because of abuses in the charismatic movement, they don't believe these gifts are in operation anymore. People have sometimes taken it to, and this is an abuse both on the person delivering and on the person receiving. If I give you a word of wisdom, it is totally up to you to receive it and act on it. In other words, you're not disobeying me because you don't take what I say. Now, you may be disobeying God, but that's between you and God. If you don't perceive it to be a word from the Lord, that's between you and God. And one of the things we have to correct the church is that the Bible says this. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And so there are plenty of times when people come to me and I know they're searching for a word and I purposely don't give them one. Because I know that I can interfere with what God is doing. Are you hearing me? And so we can't explain something that the Holy Spirit is doing away. Now, some of the things that they'll say, now that we have the Holy Word, we don't necessarily need the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. But they're talking about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge in one context, whereas we're talking about it in a different context. I believe that God still gives words of wisdom and words of knowledge, and I'm going to prove it to you in just a few moments. Point number one. The word of wisdom, God's strategy gift. The word of wisdom, God's strategy gift. The word of wisdom is how God handles plans. It's God's way of telling you to be a planner. It's God's way of telling you think strategically. God is a very strategic God. And so he tells you ways for you to handle what's coming. He tells you ways for you to deal with and how to, he'll tell you how to answer things before the question even comes up. Now, let me say this. All of these gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, they're all very closely tied to the gift of prophecy. Okay? You'll usually see people who are operating in the gift of prophecy operating in these very strongly. And for me, at least, sometimes it's hard to tell when it's the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or discerning of spirits, because that you move in and out of them so quickly sometimes until sometimes, okay, what was that? It was the word of the Lord. That's all we know. Okay? But I'm going to show you some of the ways, as I give you some, towards the end, I'll give you some what I call modern applications, some of the things that have happened in my life, how God has used these different gifts to help me just in life. Okay? Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, predestined before the ages to our glory." So Paul here is talking about, if you read the verses before that, he said, we didn't come to you with the wisdom of men. You know, we didn't come to you with fancy words. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God. And so what you have to understand is the word of them is God's insight into something. And God preparing you for how to deal with the situation. Listen, I'm telling you that, okay, give you an example. I was working with a church in Ohio. I had gone, my daughter probably remembers this, I had gone to Lexington, Kentucky. I was in Lexington, Kentucky, taking a golf lesson. I was in Lexington playing golf, taking a golf lesson. The Holy Spirit had visited me in a dream the night before, okay? For 3 days this happened. The first dream I had, I heard questions but no answers. So I kept trying to answer the questions, and the Holy Spirit kept telling me, no, that's not the right answer. The second night, I dreamed, and I heard answers but no questions. So I knew that God was giving me the answer to the questions. The third night, God showed me who it was that was going to be asking the questions. So I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. My cell phone rings. The bishop calls. He said, I got something I need to talk to you about. You have a few minutes? I stepped away from my lesson. I said, sure, what's going on? He asked me the first question. It was the exact question I heard in the dream. So I gave him the answer that I heard in the dream. He asked me the second question, exact question I heard in the dream. So I gave him the answer that I heard in the dream. When he asked the third question, it was the exact question I heard in the dream. I gave him the answer I heard in the dream. He broke down and started crying. He couldn't believe it. He knew he was hearing from God because of the answers that were being given. So God, in his wisdom, God gave me his wisdom to answer the questions that I was not prepared to answer. Because if I would have answered, I would have answered out of my heart of rejection. I would have answered out of my wounded spirit. And I probably would have changed my future because I was being ignorant instead of using the wisdom of God. Are you hearing me? Scripture. Matthew 2:12. These are people who God gave them a word of wisdom. These are the magi who had come to see the child. Verse 12, it says, "And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the magi left for their own country by another way." If you remember the story, they were coming, they were looking for the promised child, they were looking for the Messiah, and they had stopped, and Herod wanted to know where they were coming from and what they were looking for, and they told him, and Herod said, "Well, I want to worship him too. When you find him, let me know where he's at so I can worship him too." And the Bible says they went and they found Jesus. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but when they went to sleep that night, the Lord gave him a word of wisdom. Don't go back that way. Herod's intentions are not right. Now, what you'll see here is that the word of wisdom will not only tell you how things work, but it'll tell you how people work. The Bible says that God knows the intents of man's heart. That's why I said sometimes it's hard to tell these gifts apart, because discerning of spirits will also tell you the intents of men's hearts. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to help you. Okay, another example, word of wisdom. Jesus in Matthew 17, the tax collectors asked Peter, they said, does your rabbi not believe in paying taxes? And so Peter went to ask Jesus. And Jesus said, "Who should pay taxes? Do sons pay taxes?" He said, "No." He said, "We're sons. We shouldn't pay taxes." He said, "But just so that we can have peace with them, we're going to pay them." Now watch what he tells him in verse 27. He says, "However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open his mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and for me." Jesus said, "Go look in the fish's mouth. You're going to find enough to pay your taxes and mine." Word of wisdom. He gave him a solution to the problem. This is why I tell people that truly prophetic people are solutions-oriented people. Truly prophetic people are solutions-oriented people. Why? Because you have to have this understanding. One of the things that people say, "Oh, that sounds arrogant. Oh, that sounds..." But see, it's not arrogant. I know in whom I've well trusted. I know in whom I believe. So when I walk in the room, all the answers walk in the room with me. Because I know who's coming in the room with me. Are you hearing me? When you have God's knowledge, what knowledge is there greater than God's knowledge? Now, you have to first believe that God is really all-knowing, that he knows everything about everything, that there's nothing that God is, what are we going to do about this? There's never been a time when God says, "I wasn't expecting that." Next. Let's talk about the word of knowledge a little bit. I don't know what my time is. Huh? Okay. Word of knowledge is a definition for you. A word of knowledge is a definite conviction, impression, or knowing that comes to you in a similitude, a mental picture, a dream, through a vision, or by a scripture that is quickened to you. It is supernatural insight or understanding of circumstances, situations, problems, or a body of facts by revelation. That is, without assistance by any human resource, but solely by divine aid. Solely by divine aid. So now, let's talk about a word of knowledge. word of knowledge, I call it God's informing gift. It's God's informing gift. It's where God lets you know what's happening. It's where God lets you know how things are going to happen. It's where God lets you know. The Bible says this. The Bible says that God does nothing except he first reveals it to his friends, the prophet. So there's never a time when we are totally, as a body of believers, when we should be totally surprised by anything God does. Because God, prophetic people, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. Prophetic people are listening people. You spend more time in prophecy listening than you do talking. Because you're listening for God to inform you. Tell me what's going on. And you can even ask him, Lord, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? Here's an example of a word of knowledge from the scripture. John chapter 4, Jesus is standing by the well. Woman comes out in the heat of the day. She comes in the heat of the day because all the wives came out early in the day. And she didn't want to be out there when the wives was out there because she had slept with a lot of their husbands. So she had to wait for them to go home. And then she came out in the heat of the day. And Jesus is standing there. Now this is what he says to her after he asked her for water. He said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. Verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. So now, the word of knowledge is usually insight into something that is known but is unknown to the person speaking. In other words, you know your situation. I don't know your situation. You know the details. I don't know the details. God gives me a word of knowledge. He gives me insight into that situation so that I can begin to talk to you about it and begin to tell you most of the time what God's plan is for it. And then if I switch into a word of wisdom, I can help you plan on how to deal with it. Are you hearing me? See, this bugs people because we have become a church that doesn't depend on the Holy Spirit. We don't depend on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you how I know. My wife just reminded me this morning. I forget which school it is now, but it's a seminary school. The first time in their history, they graduated more psychology majors than they did Bible majors. Because, see, we don't depend on the Holy Spirit. We depend on our ability. See, psychology is about our ability to treat mental illness. Supernatural power is about God's ability to treat mental illness. Got another example for you. In Acts chapter 5, word of knowledge, Ananias and Sapphira, Peter is dealing with them. Watch this. Now they have been instructed to sell their extra. Now they had all agreed, we're going to sell all this extra stuff we got. You got an extra house? Sell it. You got an extra car? Sell it. Got an extra mule? Sell it. Extra donkey? Sell it. We're going to sell all the extra stuff. And we're going to bring the extra to the house of the Lord so that the people who don't have can have. That was the plan, okay? Acts 5:1. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, word of knowledge, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? Peter had no way of knowing. It ain't like somebody came to Peter, they got this much for the land. No. Peter said, you have conceived in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. The Lord showed him. And the Bible says, in the next moment, Ananias fell dead. Well, if we had that kind of stuff happening in the church, the Bible said, great fear went through the whole camp. All of a sudden, people want to live right. Hey, did y'all hear about that guy Ananias? All he did was tell one lie. All right, next. Discerning of spirits. I call discerning of spirits God's revealing gift. Now, all of these are referred to in the theological community as revelatory gifts, okay? But this is the one that is the most revealing gift, because this is the one that tells you the intents of men's heart. It tells you what men are conspiring, what's really in their heart towards you. Here's the definition: discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to perceive the source of a spiritual manifestation and determine whether it is of God, of the devil, of man, or of the world. It is not mind reading, psychic phenomenon, or the ability to criticize and find fault. Discerning of spirits must be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. He bears witness with our spirit when something is or is not God. The gift of discerning of spirits is the supernatural power to detect the realm of the spirits and their activities. It implies the power of spiritual insight, the supernatural revelation of plans and purposes of the enemy and his forces. It is a gift which protects and guards your Christian life. It is a gift which protects and guards your Christian life. Now, I'm going to give you a couple scriptures, then I'm going to give you a couple stories about discerning of spirits. Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17. Now, this is Jesus discerning the spirit of Simon Peter. Watch this. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So all Peter does is say something, and Jesus instantly knows, you've been listening to my Father. Discerning of spirits. Here's what the Bible tells us. What you'll learn about discerning of spirits is that discerning of spirits is a very distinct listening gift. All these gifts require listening. But in this point, you're listening because discerning of spirits, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you listen long enough, people will tell you what's really in their heart. Are you hearing me? Here's another one. Same guy, Peter. Same chapter. Matthew 16, just a few verses later. Watch this. I'm going to show you how discerning of spirits works. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up by the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Watch this. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Now, just a few verses earlier, I can perceive that you've been listening to my Father. Now, he discerns something different. Now, what told him that there was a change in Peter's spirit? What came out of his mouth? When Peter was talking to the Father, the words of the Father came out of his mouth. When he was listening to the devil, the words of the devil came out of his mouth. We told you that discerning of spirits is about guarding your Christian life. Those of you that attend prayer regularly know, a few months ago, we came to prayer, and I told you all, I said, "I don't know why God is telling me this." I said, "But the Lord is giving me something for you all." And I told you, I said, "I hear the Lord saying, too many minds, too many voices." I said, "Y'all listen to too many voices." And I began to really harp on the importance of not listening to voices. And I even went so far as to say, y'all are going on YouTube and listening to people that you shouldn't be listening to. And the Lord is saying that you're putting yourself in peril. Well, here's the thing. I knew exactly who the word was for. But I also knew it was a word that was good for the whole assembly. So I delivered it as a word for the whole assembly. I later talked to the person who I knew it was for and told him, that was for you. You need to watch what you're doing. Now, they were under no obligation to adhere to what I said. And they didn't. And they didn't. And they're paying the price for it right now. Because what they didn't understand is that the discerning of spirits gift, it comes to protect you. It warns you when there's trouble coming. I'm gonna tell you this. I was working in law enforcement, and there was a person that I had worked with for years, and we had become really, I thought we were really close friends. And so I had been sick for a while, so I had been out of work, and when I finally got back to work, he called me one day. And he said to me, he said, man, I want to take you to lunch. I haven't talked to you in a while. He said, I want to take you to lunch. I said, okay. So I'm doing my daily devotional. I'm reading and studying and praying. All of a sudden, I hear the Holy Spirit start to trouble me about this meal I'm going to go have. So I said, God, I need you to speak to me directly from your word because I don't know what you're trying to tell me. I opened my Bible. It fell open. I think it was to Obadiah. Book that I probably have never read, okay? And my eyes fall on a verse, and this is the verse said, the one that thou eatest with shall betray you. Doesn't get much clearer than that, does it? Doesn't get much clearer than that. I'm just going to tell you some things, you know, because I want you to know the last point of the lesson is for me to tell you how the gifts function in daily life. And you have to understand, one of the problems I think Christians have in our society is we don't think that God is concerned about your daily life. But if it concerns you, it concerns him. That's why he said, cast your cares on, for he cares for. The Bible tells you to cast your cares. So you give all of your concerns to him because you understand he's concerned about what concerns me. Are you hearing me? I had a guy, he lived with us for a while, him and his family. I'm not going to say his name. He was a really talented guy, great guy, really, really a nice guy, sweet guy, great guy. Family was beautiful. They fell on hard times. My wife and I opened our home, gave him a room for them and their daughter. And he was really looking for a job, and he comes downstairs, and he's excited. Pastor, I got a job interview, and I really think they're going to give me an offer. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, what's the job? He told me. He said, and Pastor, they want to pay me $75,000. He said, I already talked to the guy, and he's going to his boss now to come back with an offer. I said to him, I'm showing you how these gifts work. Because I went from word of knowledge to word of wisdom and discerning spirits all in the same conversation. I said, when he comes back, he's going to say this, word of knowledge. I said, when he says that, the only thing you say is this and shut up. Don't say nothing else. Word of wisdom. He said, Pastor, are you sure? I said, you can either believe me or you can believe them. I said, here's the thing. You ain't going to be in no worse situation than you are now. You don't have a job now. If you don't get a job, I said, you just need to trust God on this. He said, all right. So he goes up there. The guy calls him back. The guy makes him an offer for $75,000 a year, which is exactly what I told him was going to happen. He said to the guy what I told him to say. The guy got stuck. The guy said, let me think about this for a few minutes. I'll call you right back. Hung the phone up. He comes back downstairs. He said, Pastor, he said he's going to call back. I said, when he calls back, he's going to say this. I said, when he does, you only say this. He said, Pastor, are you sure? I said, listen to me. He said, okay. He goes up there. The guy calls back. Sure enough, said just what the Lord had revealed. He said what we told him. Now the guy got up to $90,000. Guy said, but I got to call you back. He said, okay. He left. Comes back downstairs. He said, Pastor, this is really freaking me out. I said, I know. I said, just stick with me here for a minute. He said, okay. I said, when he calls back, he's going to say this. I said, you say this, and then you tell him this is my final offer. We're not going to have another conversation. He said, okay. I said, you sure? He said, you sure? I said, yes. He goes up. He takes the call. The guy says what he says. exactly what we told him. He responds exactly how we told him. The guy offered him $135,000. If he hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit, he would have cheated himself out of $60,000. So he comes downstairs. He's excited. He's crying. He's, "Pastor, this is amazing. I can't believe this, man." He said, "Man, thank you so much. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. This is so wonderful." I looked at him and I said, "Son," I said, "you want to know the hardest part about what I do?" He said, "What's that?" I said, "God a lot of times shows me the intent of people's hearts." He said, "What do you mean, Pastor?" I said, "I know you're going to find this hard to believe." I said, "But the day is coming and it's not far off. You won't even take my phone calls." He literally fell on the floor, began to weep. "No, Pastor, no, I would never do that to you. As good as you've been to my family, I would never do that to you." I said, "Son, you don't intend to do it." I said, "The Lord just shows me what's in the hearts of men." We came down here and started this church. He came with us. On a Sunday morning, we were sitting in our friend's living room. We finished. He got up. He gave me a hug. Me and my wife walked him and his wife out to their car. By this time, they weren't living with us anymore. We walked them out to their car. My wife asked me after they started pulling off, she said, "Why did you walk them to their car?" I said, "Because this is the last time we'll see them." What am I trying to get you to see? That God wants these gifts to operate in your life. Tell you another story. I'm just telling you how it's operated in my life. We had a 98 Mazda Millennia. 98 Mazda Millennia. And if you know anything about cars, in your car there's a serpentine belt. That serpentine belt runs everything. It runs the engine, the air conditioning, everything. Well, what makes that serpentine belt work is there's a thing on there called a tensioner that keeps tension on the belt so the belt stays tight to do what it needs to do. My car started acting up. I didn't know a whole lot about cars, didn't have any money. I took it to a friend of mine. He said, "The tensioner's gone bad." I said, "Okay." So the first thing I did is I called auto parts store to see how much a tensioner was going to cost, $350 just for the part. I didn't have $350. So I called the junkyard, see if maybe there was an engine there that had the same tensioner on it and I could just go take that one off. They said $75. Guess what? I didn't have $75. For a junk part, $75. So I said to the Lord, I said, "I need your wisdom here. I need you to tell me how to do this." And so I went outside in the middle of the night, took a flashlight, and I just stood there looking at the part and praying. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Until you take it off the car, you can't do nothing with it." He said, "Just take it off." I said, "I don't know how to take it off." He said, "I'll show you." So he starts showing me in a dream how to take this part off the car. I go down there the next day. My wife can verify all this. I go down there the next day. I do exactly what he showed me. Take the part off. I put a clamp on the belt so that I wouldn't have to figure out how to put the belt back on. See what I'm saying? Now I got the part in my hand. She'll tell you. For 3 days, I sat looking at that part, waiting for God to speak. I never let it be more than 5 feet from me. Everywhere I went, I took it with me. I was waiting for God to speak. One night in the middle of the night, I sat up and went, "Ah." The Lord had showed me in a dream exactly how the part worked. But he told me, he said, "To get to it, you're going to have to take it apart." Everything he was telling me made me go beyond my fear. So I get the tools and I start taking the thing apart and I'm trying to be careful because I know I got to put it back together. And I'm taking apart. The thing was spring loaded. As soon as I released the last thing, poof, parts went all over the living room. Now I'm sitting there going, "Oh, man." So I start bringing the parts together, and I said, "The Bible says this." Now, see, this is why you got to know your word. The Bible says that God will call all things to your remembrance. That's what the Bible says. Now, if he's an all-knowing God, why can't he cause me to know something I never knew? And he had shown me how to take the part off, and he had told me that I could put the part, I could fix the part. So as I'm sitting there, I said, "Lord, your word says you'll cause all things to my remembrance." I said, "Help me remember this dream exactly." And I started laying out the pieces, putting it back together. And then it dawned on me, I couldn't figure out why they put all these plastic pieces in a part that was this important to the car. So I started looking, and I realized I know exactly what needs to happen. but I don't know where to go get it. Holy Spirit told me, just start walking. He tells me which way to start walking. True story. I'm walking. I walked about 2 miles over some railroad tracks. I'm going through this commercial park, industrial park. I'm walking, and the Holy Spirit says, go in that door right there. I walked in. The guy said, can I help you? He did not look like somebody who wanted to help me. I said to him, I said, sir, I don't know if you can help me. I said, but here's what I need. I said, I don't know if you guys do welding. I need somebody to weld something right here. He said, right there? I said, yeah, just like a little knot. And I began to show him how I needed it to go. He said, come on, follow me. I said, and I told him, I said, sir, all I got is 20 bucks. I can pay you 20 bucks. That's all I got. He said, just follow me. He takes me back in the shop. This dude with his long beard and tattoos everywhere, bald head, he definitely looked like he wanted to help me. He walks me over to this guy, tells the guy, he said, tell him what you need. So I started telling him. The guy said, oh, I can do that for you. Won't take long at all. He puts it on the machine, showed it to me. He says, is that right? I said, probably need to be smoothed out a little bit. He smooths it out a little more. I put it, I said, I think that got it. I said, what do I owe you? He said, nothing, brother. I just wanted to bless you. I go back home. I put the thing back together. I put it back on the car. I put the belt back on. We drove that car with that Holy Spirit replenished part until we got rid of it. Because the wisdom of God. God don't know nothing about cars. How can he not know anything about cars? He existed before cars. He's the one who gave the guy the idea for the car. But y'all got to understand, God wants you to use your knowledge of him and the Holy Spirit in every aspect of your life. But you can't do that if you're limiting God by saying, well, you know, God doesn't care about that. She came to me, my daughter came to me a few months ago. Daddy, I'm getting restless on my job. I think I'm gonna start looking for another job. I said, what's the problem? She started telling me what was going on. I said to her, I said, it's not time. I said, stay where you're at. God's gonna bless you. She didn't like it. She told me, she said, I don't know if I like that word. I said, it's okay. But see, here's what she does. She'll tell me she don't like it, but she'll still do what I tell her to do. So I said, just stay there. God's got something for you. I said, he's going to hand deliver it to you. A few weeks later, her old supervisor, who had left the job, had a new job, contacted her to say, hey, they got an opening over here if you're interested. My daughter said, really? So she called me. She said, Dad, my old supervisor said that. I said, yeah, I think you should do it. She goes, she does the whole thing. Long story short, this girl just got a bigger raise than I've ever seen in my life. I'm serious. But it's because she understood. See, what we think is that the word works, but the word only works if the hearer understands that they're hearing from God. When you get words and you don't do anything with them, this is what's wrong with the Christian community right now. People have words on the shelf like canned preserves. They never have done anything with them. What the word comes to do is to spur you to do something. Are you hearing me? Hopefully this is helping you. Let me wrap this up. I got 2 verses here about discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All of these gifts are for the common good, okay? Verse 11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all of these, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. You ever had somebody approach you and you get an uneasy feeling about them? You don't know what it is about them. You just instantly have an uneasy feeling. Discerning of spirits. I'm just telling you. But see, we'll go, well, you know, something told me. Y'all better change God's name to something. All right, that's our time. Let's give God a hand praise for his word.